Good morning. There we go. Sit on my stool here, get comfortable. Me and Jeff weren't here last week, so we were off in Seattle visiting other churches, seeing things that are going on, so it was really exciting. Thanks to Carmen and everybody else who took care of everything while we were gone. Nothing fell apart. In fact, we realized you guys don't actually need me and Jeff. So we're right at the end of a series called We're Fine. And it kind of references this concept that sometimes we look at our relationships and go, they're fine, right? Like, we didn't have a blowout last week, or, you know, I didn't punch him in the face, so it's probably good, right? And it actually starts in the story from the Bible that some guy walks up to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, okay, so break down this whole Christian business for me. Like, narrow it down, kind of give me the Cole's notes. And Jesus says, love God, love your neighbor. So we talk about loving God quite a bit. We talk about loving your neighbor that's like Rio Azul, Mexico, the people outside of our lives. It's often easier to love them. When it comes to loving your neighbor, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your spouse, your partner, sometimes your kids, friends, after you spend some time with someone, sometimes they kind of get a little on your nerves. And we've never been trained how to make relationships healthy. We know we're supposed to love our neighbor. We know we're supposed to love our parents. But what happens when you don't? How do you even fix that? How do you figure that out? Or do you just kind of like separate yourself from them? So the other day, which for those of you who know me, anytime I say the other day, it means any time in the past. This could be like 30 years ago, the other day, I had this moment in my life and something happened. I'd accomplished something and I was really proud of my accomplishment and I was all excited. And again, for those of you who know me, I don't get excited very often, but I was like just pumped. And I was like, I got to share this with somebody. I'm not even sure why that thought came into my head, but that was the thought that came into my head. I was like, I got to share this with somebody. So I pick up the phone, and I call this person in my life. And now, you probably know where this story is going to go, so I'm not going to tell you who the person is just to kind of save that. But before I get there, this is the final week in the series. And the series has been focused on making our relationships something better than fine. Something better than all right. Something better than I can put up with them as long as I don't have to spend too much time with them. Something better than, I just saw their phone number come up on my call display, and I'm now madly trying to figure out a reason why I don't have to answer that call. Something better than just being in the same room but not being connected. We want relationships with our partners, with our children, our siblings, our parents, and our friends. We want relationships with these people that's better than fine, don't we? I mean, when you hear stories of people who are best friends with their parents, best friends, or where they holiday with their brothers and sisters, not because someone guilted them into it, but because they actually love to holiday with them. Kids who come home for dinner because they want to. Friends who just seem to be able to connect with you right where you are in the way you need it. When we see people having relationships like that, we look at ours and go, I think this could be better. So remember, I have this exciting moment and I want to share it with this person. So I call them up and the conversation goes something like this. Hey, how's it going? Good, good. Small talk, you know, how's the weather, kid, blah, blah, blah. And then I proceed to share my news. So I figured, this is going good, right? Just told him this exciting thing in my life. I used my excited voice, so I have one of those. And I get to the end of the conversation. I tell him what I'm there, the exciting moment in my life. And there's this pause. And in the pause, I remember thinking, not consciously, but kind of like anticipating, okay, there's going to be a moment now. This is going to be like the crowning moment of connection between me and this person. It's just going to be beautiful, and it's going to be awesome, and everything's going to be perfect. And I wait a second, and they go, I just told you an amazing thing I've just accomplished. I am so excited about this. And all the person gives me is, like, what's the big deal? Why did you even call me? In that moment, if I could have crawled through the phone line and beat him to death with his own headset, I would have done it. I was that angry. Like, from a moment of, this is going to be a beautiful connection to, I'm homicidal. That's how quick it changed for me. Yeah, I know some of you are looking at me thinking, wow. All I wanted was, like, congratulations, good job, nice work, anything. But, like, come on. And that's when I realized that my relationship with this person, it's less than fine. Up until that moment, I thought we were not too bad. But after that moment, I was like, huh. And I know you, this might not be your story, but I'm guessing many of you can look back to different points in different relationships. One of those moments that just made you go, ooh, this isn't as good as I thought it was. Or maybe you looked at somebody else's, heard somebody else's story, what a relationship that they're in. It just makes yours look sad. We actually survey you guys quite regularly because we want to know what's going on. We know that if we survey you before a relationship series, your numbers will be significantly higher than right after the relationship series. Isn't that interesting? It's like we think things are going well until we actually start to learn about our relational needs, about our love tank, about how this works. And suddenly it's like we can't get it out of our heads. Everywhere we look, there's this thing of going, ooh, that didn't go the way I'd hoped. Or, oh, I was hoping for that. Or maybe in a moment of really honest moment for you, you realize, boy, I just dropped the ball there, didn't I? I'm 40 years old. When I was 39, I finally figured out my mom has affection as a need. My mom loves to be hugged. It took me 39 years to figure that out. I talked about the worst son award, yeah. Like, come on, Clausen. So what do we do now? We come through these series, we get these ideas in our heads of what relationships could be or maybe should be, and we can't get those thoughts out of our head anymore, and suddenly we're looking around going, these aren't that good. We figure out we have needs and they have needs. We've asked people for stuff in our lives and they've asked from us and still not working that well. What do we do when we figure out that our relationships are less than fine and we don't know how to fix it? What do we do when we don't know what to do? This is the part where it's usually like, oh, bummer. But the thing is, I want you to know something, and I don't not intellectually know like I usually talk. I want you to know this in your heart. You are not alone. I'm guessing I could pull each one of you, and if not in this moment, in moments fairly recently, we could look at one of your relationships and go, yeah, that one could use some work. I think it's safe to say that not one of us has all of our relationships figured out. Least of all me. I know some people who have some healthy relationships, but it's fascinating. You talk to them, they're maybe good with their spouse, but their relationship with their kids is like, oof. Or they're good with their friends, but they haven't talked to their family in months or years. I think I would feel fairly comfortable making a sweeping generalization, painting with a very big brush, and saying, probably we're all feeling something similar right now. But how in the world do we make our relationships better than that? Better than just fine. So to deal with this very issue, we created a position called the Pastor of Relational Development. Now, we were serious about this whole love your neighbor thing, and we thought, if we're going to do this thing, we got to figure out how to do it here with the people we spend time with day in and day out. So we started to do our research, and we looked at other churches, and some of the big churches hired like a full counseling staff. And about a year or two later, they laid them all off. Okay, that didn't work. Many churches just kind of ignore it. Some churches spiritualize it. They say, just pray and all your relationships will be better. We went, okay. We decided to try something a little bit different. We decided to create a position that looked a little bit like an emergency room doctor. Now, because of the things I love to do, I get to go to the emergency fairly regularly. It's not quite as bad as Jill with her own parking stall, but, you know, I'm familiar with the area. And, you know, you walk in, you think you've broken something, right? So you walk in, you know, hobble in or whatever, and you get to see, after the wait, you get to see the doctor. Have you ever noticed the doctor doesn't really do a whole lot? If there's any doctors in the room, I apologize. But really what they do is they walk in, they look at you, and then they send you to somebody else. They're like, oh, yeah, you're in a lot of pain? Okay, I'll go. So then the person comes with the medicine bag with the morphine, and they stick it in, and, you know, and they're like, oh, now I feel better. Then they send you to the cat or the radiologist, and they, you know, get the arm out, and then they come back, and then they send you to the casting person, the cast person puts it on, then they send you to the other person who says, okay, so this is how you shower with the cast on, and this is what you're not supposed to do, and don't break anything with this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then they send you to the pharmacist to get more drugs because you don't want to feel anything. But in the end, the doctor didn't really do anything per se. They just sent you to experts. But I think that's what makes a good emergency room doctor. They do something that they call triage. Now, I see I have a doctor over here, so I'm going to talk maybe to these groups of people before she throws something at me. Okay, doctors are lovely people. Sorry. But we decided we would make a position for relationships, kind of like that doctor. This person isn't necessarily the expert in everything. What their expertise is, they know where to send you to the right resources. They're an expert in getting you connected with the right resources. So whether it's a counselor or workbooks or books to read or psychologists or psychiatrists or work, like you name it, retreats, you name it. This is what this person, that's what their job is to do, to connect. They're an expert in connecting you to relevant resources. And we call this person the Pastor of Relational Development. Now, you've never actually heard us call a pastor here Pastor of Relational Development because we have somebody who does more than just this. We call her the Community Director. But part of her job title is Pastor of Relational Development. And so I want to invite Carmen McNamara up here. And I want you to get to know her a little bit today. Yeah, give her a round of applause.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Okay, before I get going here, we want this to be more than just me asking her questions. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to text in questions. So just text in whatever question you want. Keep it PG, please. And we'll do our best to answer it in the time we have. Whatever we don't have, we'll deal with later. Is that cool? So we want this to be more than just us talking to you, but you guys talking to us and then us be able to answer it. Cool?
Sounds good.
So you're a relationship expert.
Absolutely not.
Okay, why don't we do this? You started the last interview with a bunch of questions. So I want to start with the same one. What's your favorite holiday?
Probably anything in the summer because it's hot out.
Anything
in the summer. Okay. Because I love the sunshine.
Nice. Do you have any holidays planned? You're going to San Diego, aren't you?
I'm going to San Diego at the end of September.
Nice.
So I'm doing a triathlon down there.
Nice. A little bit more sun.
That'll be fun.
Starbucks or Tim Hortons?
Anywhere I can get a really good cup of green tea.
Green tea?
Green tea.
Where do you get a good cup of green tea?
Either of those places would be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, never ordered that. Latest hobby?
triathlon.
That's your only hobby then, right? So that takes over your life?
It takes up a lot of my time,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Talk radio or CBC?
Ooh, CBC.
Okay. Most spiritual place in the world for you?
I've been out to Kingsfold a few times in the last couple of years, and I've had some pretty interesting moments when I'm out there, and it's just me and God and wilderness, especially if it's a really beautiful day.
Is it out walking or is it in the buildings?
I'd say both, but it's probably easier for me to connect to God outside.
Hmm. Down by the river there? Mm-hmm. That's gorgeous. You were on our last Rio Azul trip.
Mm-hmm.
What was the most impacting moment there for you?
When we were in Rio Azul, we got to spend a night with families within the village. So we got to spend the night talking with people from the community about what their day-to-day life looks like. And for me, that was amazing, just being able to not just see what they prepare for us when we get there, but see how they actually live. That was incredible.
Do they speak English?
No. They speak Spanish in a shiel.
Was this like talking like this?
Yeah, it probably took us an hour to figure out, oh, you eat corn for dinner.
Okay.
Okay, next question.
What was the last lie you told to get something that you wanted? Come on, you gotta be honest with these people. This one, is that the last lie?
I don't know. I have openness and honesty as a need, so it's really hard for me to lie.
Good answer. She dodged that one, didn't she? Jeez. Thought I had you. Anyways, so you're a triage person.
Yeah.
Do you find many people have their relationships all figured out?
Do I find many people have their relationships all figured out?
Yeah.
No, I have yet to meet a person who has all of their relationships all figured out.
Including me, of course.
And very much including me.
So, in your research, what have you found the problem is? Why isn't this working?
What I'm finding is that people will often find one thing and work on that for a little bit, and it'll get a little bit better. Mm. But then something will happen, there'll be a life event, they'll get discouraged, and then they'll go back on it. Mm. Or they'll do one thing and they'll find it's getting a little bit better, but then they don't know what the next step is.
Mm. Okay, so one of the things we talked about is we get to the end, so we get all these stages, we get to the end,
mm-hmm.
It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Often we think the last stage is the problem. Can it happen that earlier stages impact the later stages of kind of how this all works?
So the model that we've been using talks about the idea of knowing and then saying and then hearing and then doing. So we find that it's really hard to say your needs if you don't know them.
Hmm.
It's really hard to hear someone else's needs if they're not saying them. And it's really hard to do those needs if we don't know and we're not saying and we're not hearing. So if we have something break down in any of those steps, then it causes the whole thing to fall apart.
Okay. Do you need to be a member of Friend Church to get the help you need?
I would say no. If you are here for the first time today and you've got questions about your relationships, come talk to me and we'll set you up with resources. That's going to look different for each person, whether you're a member of Friends Church or not, because each person's circumstances are unique. But because of the model that we have, which is that we believe that the best help out there is the best help out there, not necessarily the people here at Friends Church, I'd say absolutely, come talk to me.
Yeah, and friends of friends, stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Nice.
We're here to bring water. So if you know people that have never been here, but they need resources, send them to me. I'll happily talk to them.
Perfect. Any plans for relationship-based small groups?
Interesting. So small groups are something that we have tried here at Friends Church a number of times in a number of different ways. And for some people, that's exactly what they need in their spiritual journey. Mm. And for some people, that's exactly what they don't need in their spiritual journey. We do have about 4 functioning small groups right now that are working at various stages of membership that work a number of different ways. And we support those groups in the models that they've come up with that work for them. I was also approached at the beginning of this week by some ladies that are looking to put together a mom's small group. So we're in the process of creating a program for them to develop that and have the support that they need. But as far as small groups are concerned, in the traditional way where everybody has to be a member of a small group, I'd say that's not a model that we would follow at Friends Church.
We have that whole, we value people's individual journey, so.
Exactly. However, if you are looking to create a small group or you're looking to get plugged into a small group that we already have, that's something that we can offer you.
Now, that's her connection role. So I'm going to take her back to relational development here. So how do we know? Something breaks down in a relationship. How do we know it's what stage it's in? So let's say, how do you know it's in the knowing stage?
Okay.
What does that look like?
So often we don't know exactly where it's broken down. We just know that something is broken. So someone will come to me and say, this isn't working. My relationship isn't working. It's falling apart. Help me. And so I'll lead them through a series of questions to try to figure out what's going on and then try to direct them to the appropriate resource. Because more often than not, there's somebody that knows a heck of a lot more than me about this. Mm-hmm. And so 9 times out of 10, my answer is going to be, okay, we've got some general ideas as to what the problem is. Great. Best person for you to talk to is this person over here.
And this person you send them to or the resource mm-hmm. you send them to, is that unique based on what stage they're having issues in?
I wouldn't say it's unique based on which stage they're having issues in. In some cases, it is.
Okay.
It could be unique based on exactly what the problem is that's causing the breakdown. It could be unique based on they're needing counseling because they've had a significant life event. Hmm. So I would send them to a person based on that. There really are so many unique circumstances that I would hesitate to generalize.
So do you offer resources via email?
Certainly. We do have a resources list that I've developed that's available out on the table that I'd be happy to send out. If all you're looking at is just send me a bunch of resources, I want to look through them and do this myself, certainly we can do that.
And they're online as well, right?
They are on our website, yes.
Gotcha. How do you triage feelings and relationships? Ooh, that's a good question.
So how do I triage feelings and relationships? Generally, what I would prefer to do is be able to sit down with a person one-on-one and talk through exactly what's going on. I found that that's the best way to figure out exactly where to send them. But some people aren't comfortable with that. As we talked about, some people just want a list and they want to go off and do their own thing.
Okay.
If that's what that person feels that they need, I'm happy to work with them.
So when you triage them, we're not saying that you're judging the relationship. You're
not
trying
at
to figure
all.
Out where the blockage is or where the issue is. So you can send them to the appropriate help. Am I getting it straight?
Exactly.
Okay. What does it actually look like when we know our needs? Like, what is it? If I say I know my needs, what would I need to know or what would I need to do to be able to say that?
To be able to say that you know your needs, I'd say that you'd be able to identify exactly in very specific language what you need from specific people in your life.
Give me an example.
So, for example, for me, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when I come home and dinner is on the table made without me having to ask for it, that is the most amazing thing in the whole world. So for me, that would be an example of domestic support.
And how often does that need to happen?
The more often, the better.
You said specific. So I don't know that's specific, right?
Probably twice a week.
Sorry, twice a week?
Twice a week.
Nice. People often use the word love languages. We talk about relational needs.
Mm-hmm. So what these things allow us to do is put things into broad categories to start the conversation. So I use the word domestic support, which is part of the relational needs language that we often use at Friends Church. Those are the broad containers that we'll often use.
Okay.
I do talk to people quite often that would use the word love languages. Personally, I don't find that the love languages are as specific, but they work the same way. They're these broad containers that specific behaviors fit into. So if I was speaking using love languages language, I would say that what I needed was...
acts of service.
Acts of service. Thank you.
Good question. How do you figure out your child's relational needs?
That's a great question. Actually, Willard Harley, who wrote the His Needs, Her Needs model, wrote a book called His Needs, Her Needs with Children or His Needs, Her Needs with Kids. I can't remember the exact title, but it's a book specifically about figuring out your child's relational needs. There's also a book called Love Languages with Children. Both are fantastic resources for figuring out what it is that your kids need from you.
What should I expect to pay for a counseling?
That's a great question. Honestly, it does vary. I've seen counselors who do the first session for free. I've seen counselors that charge $30 or $40 an hour. I've seen counselors that charge as much as $200 an hour. So there is quite a broad spectrum. If finances are your challenge to getting a counselor, we believe in that, and we do have some programs set up to assist with paying for at least the first visit, and from there it would really depend on the person's unique situation.
Hmm. Well, you nailed two of them. That's perfect. What if I know there's a problem in a relationship with an adult sibling, but I don't want to fix it? I think you're done then, right? Moving on.
You know what? I think that's a really good question, and I think that that's something worth addressing, because there are some relationships in our life that, for whatever reason, we've created boundaries around in order to protect ourselves. Now, I would say that there's a very fine line between relationships that we don't want to fix and relationships that we shouldn't fix in order to be healthy. What I would say is, if you're dealing with a relationship that is causing stress in your life, you'll probably want to talk with an expert about which of those it is, because I'm not going to be the person to make that distinction
you
for you.
You don't want to judge that for them?
I don't want to judge that for you. Henry Cloud has a fantastic series of books out called Boundaries. Boundaries in marriage, safe people, all these books around how do we create healthy boundaries in our lives and how do we judge which people are safe for us to develop better relationships with.
So you can't just be like, I don't want to deal with them. Right? They're not a safe person. I can cut them out of my life.
Oh, well, that's not ideal.
I asked you to come with a resource list of kind of people, some like a select list of people you send people to.
Absolutely.
Now, everyone on this list you've met with, vetted, the whole works.
Yeah, for sure. So we won't have time this morning to walk through every person on that list.
Oh,
there's a bunch of books. Fantastic. So, talking about people, Megan and Bill Darling are an amazing couple. If you are having problems in your marriage of any kind, chances are they've lived this. They spent the first 10 years of their marriage dealing with affair after affair after problem after addiction after affair. And after 10 years of battling that, they decided they still wanted to stick it out, for which I commend them. Mm. So they've spent the last 15 years learning about how marriage works. They've started attending workshops, doing their research, learning as much as they can. And over the last few years, they've started doing marital and premarital counseling seminars. They're 9-week sessions that they run. They do it strictly on a volunteer basis. The cost of those seminars is extremely cost effective because all you're paying for is materials. But they also subscribe to the His Needs, Her Needs model. And talking with Megan and Bill, they are passionate about what they do and what they do works. So I would highly recommend them. There's a couple of people on our list that work really well with people who are looking for help with relationships in general. So Jamie Buchan and Jessica Dollard are a couple of life coaches on our list that can help you to identify specifically what your strengths are and how to balance that with the strengths that other people have in their relationships. Because as we've talked about before, different people are different. And if we can identify what we're good at and what we're not good at and what the people in our relationship are good at and what they're not good at, then that can help us to balance those relationships and lessen the conflict in there. The last person that I wanted to talk about this morning was Julie Friedman-Smith, who works with Parenting Power. Parenting Power has done some workshops for us here before. They're fantastic people to talk about any issues that you have, whether it's the terrible twos or the terrible teens. They have podcasts, they have workshops, they have resources. They're amazing.
Good. And you have, that's just part of the list. There's tons of people.
Absolutely.
Good. Now, how do you pick a counselor for a person? So I come to you and say, hey, I have a problem. I want to go see a counselor. What's that going to look like?
So probably I'm just going to start to ask some pretty general questions about what it is that you're looking for. Are you looking to work on an intimate relationship? Are you looking at working on relationships in general? Or are you looking at some other problem in your life that may not be specific to relationships, although generally things that are going on with us tend to spill out and affect the people in our lives? So start to figure out exactly what it is that you're looking for. Are you looking for something short-term, crisis-related?
Okay, so the first time I went to a counselor, yep. I had no clue what to expect. So I show up, like, notebook and, like, is that what... So tell them a little bit, like, what it's like to go to a counselor. How does it feel? What happens if you don't like the person? What if they're a jerk?
For sure. Maybe they are a jerk. So any of the counselors that I would send you to are people that I have met with. So different counselors do work in different ways. Most of them do offer some sort of a trial session to see if you're a good fit, because it just as important as it is to find out if it's a good counselor, it's also important to find out if this is a person that clicks with you. And so you might meet with someone and they might be amazing, but you're finding that you're really uncomfortable being around that person. That's probably not a good fit and we want to try somebody else.
So you can kind of just switch counselors or psychologists, whatever?
You can. I would suggest that if you're finding somebody that's working well with you, that you stick with that person rather than bouncing from person to person to person. But it may take a try or two to figure out who is right for you, and that's okay. Any of the really good counselors I've talked to want to recommend you to their colleagues if they find that they're not a good fit. Someone that's really trying to keep you for the sake of keeping you, I would probably question that person.
That's a good question. If we're trying to love somebody by meeting their relational needs, but those needs aren't their own, I'm guessing the person, how do you be genuine about it? How do you genuinely meet a person's need that you don't have?
That's a really interesting question. And because I think that we all encounter that sometimes, particularly talking with people that do not have a need for admiration, who are in relationship with somebody who really need to be affirmed and told that they're good at things. And so it can feel disingenuous when they first start doing that. What I would say is that if you genuinely care about somebody, then you genuinely would want to do what it is that they need. But it may take some practice to do something that doesn't come naturally to you.
So just because it doesn't feel genuine to you doesn't mean it's a bad thing to do?
That's right.
Okay. Often people will say, I've told the person my need over and over and over and over and over and over again, but they're not listening or they're not doing it. What do you do then?
That's an example where I would say probably they would need some additional help. Something could be breaking down at any one of those four steps. It could be breaking down that they're not communicating very well, in which case it would be a knowing. It could be breaking down that they're speaking different languages and they think they're communicating, but it's not really working, like Cheryl was talking about last week. It's breaking down in the saying or the hearing. It's less likely, although sometimes it does happen, where it breaks down actually in the doing itself. But generally what we find is that if we think it's breaking down in the doing stage, it's because something isn't happening in the knowing, the saying, or the hearing. And that's where we would want to send you to somebody who's an expert in that field.
What happens if you're in a relationship with a person and you're doing all the work, but they don't want to do the work?
So what I would say then is, you're not dealing with an ideal situation, but if you start to change, naturally the relationship is going to change, because as soon as one thing changes in a situation, the situation isn't the same anymore.
We've been jumping around, so my notes are all over the place. I think we've hit all the questions I wanted to ask. Any last-minute thoughts you want to share?
Just wanted to say that I have had the privilege to talk to a number of people from our community who have been sharing their stories over the last few weeks, and I wanted to say thank you for being willing to share with me and with your community. It's been awesome watching people's relationships changing and growing.
Nice. So thank her. So there you have it. You get this model, you figure out that things aren't working, you start to figure out maybe that you're the problem, or at least you maybe know where the problem is. But now what? That's the now what. Go talk to Carmen, email. Mike's. Just going to switch mics here. She'll be able to send you to the resources that we have available. This is the moment. This is the moment in most relationships, and the most kind of the timeline of relationships that's very key. We have this moment where we're starting to learn more than we knew before. And it takes us to kind of a weird place, this place that says, this isn't working, and maybe I'm wondering if it can work. So what I want to challenge you people today is, this is the moment to make a decision to work at this. Don't let these feelings go push you off base or get you discouraged or get you down. Reach out. Talk to Carmen. Do reading. Go onto our website. Do the work we need, because really, do we want to live the rest of our lives with relationships that are just fine? Or do we want to be the people that other people look at and go, wow, that's the kind of relationships I want? Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. I want to invite us to be a community that loves our neighbors well, especially the neighbor in our own homes. So don't give up. Reach out. Get the help you need. And let's create some amazing relationships, okay? So that's the end of our relationship series. It's all uphill from here, so everything gets better. Have a great week. We have a new series starting next week. We've been asked for this for years. Doesn't he look amazing? I had to beg him to be able to use that photo. I love it. So people kept saying to us, oh, I wish you would preach this message again. I wish you would do that one. You got to do this one. It was so important to me. I got to bring my friends out. So we decided that we'd let you vote. So we're using two things. We sent out a survey. The top ones on that we're going to speak through. And then we also checked all of our downloads. So next week, we're starting with the most downloaded message in the history of Friends Church. So Jeff's going to kick it off with a message called AB Negative, I think it's called. So it's going to be a blast. Come on out, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.